Hello and welcome to
The Heart of Healing Show.
I'm your host, Natasha Slayton.
And I'm your co-host, Sophie Starr.
Join us each week as we explore the magic of alternative healing modalities, what they are, how they work, and the parts that have helped us.
We'll be interviewing world-renowned healers and experts within different fields,
all the while sharing personal stories of pain and perseverance. So tune in to tap into your true potential and learn with us as we dive into a world of possibilities.
Have some laughs.
And some cries. And ultimately, get to the heart of healing. Hello and welcome back to another episode of our show. If you are tuning in for the first time, we are so honored that you're choosing to spend your time with us today. And today's topic is something I'm really, really excited for. We're going to be diving deep into sound healing and sound therapy. And our guest of honor to talk about these topics is Kate Schofield. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
You wrote an incredible introduction, and it's way better than anything I could have ever come up with. So I'm going to actually read it.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so just one second. Kate Schofield is an energy-based sound healer. She has spent the last 10 years healing and training in many different modalities in the healing arts. Kate's passion is helping highly sensitive people and creatives move through this world with ease, access their highest gifts, and become the clearest channel for the creations that wish to be birthed through them. Mm-hmm. That's pretty special work.
Yeah. It is.
That's very special. And you're very special. So thank you for coming onto the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
Absolutely. Feels really good to be here. Yeah.
Feels really good to have you here. You have immediately, when you came in, just like a really grounded energy. You feel very familiar and feels just very effortless. So like a great way to start the day. So thank you for coming in and kicking us off like this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For listeners, just so you know, after we do this talking portion segment, we're actually going to have Kate bless us with an actual sound bath and sound healing. So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
For anyone that might not know or might need a refresher, can you tell us a little bit about what sound healing and sound therapy is?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. So how I think of sound therapy is the use of different vibrational tools. So it could be instruments, gongs, chimes, tuning forks, etc. Even just regular mainstream instruments as well. It could be the use of the voice. It could be the use of electronic created frequencies. And essentially what it is us coming in contact with these vibrational tools that essentially remind us that we are vibratory beings. To understand what that means, maybe that sounds kind of far out there, but
love it.
Well, to start, and I know I heard this in a past episode with your energy healer. She talked about how everything is in a state of vibration.
Yeah.
Right. So understanding sound, we first have to understand that, right? Sound is the fabric of our universe. The ancient mystics knew what was up, and now we have modern science that is confirming it. Everything is moving, everything is vibrating, everything is expanding and contracting. That's the fundamental building blocks of the universe. So that's really important to understand. In the sound healing paradigm, we work with the concept that if something is vibrating, it is also putting out a sound. The ancient mystics worked with this concept as well. So sound and vibration, I always say sound, vibration, samesies. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But how we can really understand that concept is understanding our range of hearing. So humans hear from about 16 hertz up to 16,000 hertz.
Wow.
Children hear about 20,000 hertz. They hear higher. I don't think that's a coincidence that they hear higher. Mm. They're with their imagination, their innocence, you know. They have more of the remembrance of who they are. So children hear higher. We hear around 16,000 hertz. That's an average, right? Everyone is different. But anything that falls below our range of hearing is called infrasound. Anything above our range of hearing is called ultrasound. Sounds familiar? Infra, like infrared.
Yeah.
Ultrasound.
Yeah.
So we have a limited bandwidth of hearing, you know. So if something is falling into ultrasound or something is falling into infrasound, we're not hearing it. But that doesn't mean there isn't a sound present. We're just unable to perceive it. So that's really, really important when it comes to understanding how sound works and understanding that if something is vibrating, it is putting out a sound. And those two things are synonymous.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So yeah. The sound essentially is like maybe the hertz that we're hearing as a sound, but then the vibration is what's happening even outside of our ability to hear it. So is our body, even if our ear isn't picking up on the audible sound, is our body picking up and responding to these frequencies and vibrations?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There's so many vibrations or sounds that we're around that we're completely unaware of, right? And what's interesting with that is, okay, so everything is in... Right? Everything's in a state of vibration. Mm-hmm. Everything in the universe has a resonant frequency. What's a resonant frequency? It's the natural vibratory rate of an object or the most average vibration of an object, right? So this couch has a resonant frequency. This romper has a resonant frequency. And then how does that apply to us, right? So our bodies have many resonant frequencies. Every bone, organ, and tissue in our body is vibrating at a different frequency, which is creating a composite frequency or a composite harmonic. Some people call it that. But yeah, our body is a sound-making machine, right? So when we connect to sound healing tools, whether it be instruments, whether it be electronic frequencies, whether it be the voice, we're connecting to ourselves at that most essential level of our being, which is sound vibration.
It makes me think of like, even when you're describing the body frequencies, like how a lot of times when, at least for me, like when I have pain in my body, I'll say it's screaming, like my back is screaming. Yeah. And it's like, I didn't think about it, but it really feels like it is making a sound, even though it's not. But
no, it is, because everything is sensation, vibration, pulsation, right? So our body is speaking to us and the language of our body is vibration. So yeah, it makes sense. And then even think about when you like hit something or you stub your toe or you hurt something and you go, ooh, or you go, ah, it's like that sound vibration is a way for you to like let that out and kind of release that pain or
speaking about pain too, that also reminds me of like working with different frequencies for different ailments, and that could be physical or emotional, mental, spiritual.
Yeah, absolutely. So the frequency, so let's start with like the seven chakras, right? And then the seven sounds. Okay, so in the sound healing paradigm, we have this concept that the seven notes of the scale align with the seven main chakras. So root to crown. So it goes C, the lowest note is C at the root. C, D is sacral. E is solar plexus or navel center. Heart is F. C, D, E, F. G is throat. A is third eye. And then B is crown.
Oh.
So there's this concept. I'm kind of... It's a really good place to start. I think with any of these frequencies, the most important thing is the energy behind the sound. So when it comes to the seven main chakras, starting with the seven notes of the scale is a beautiful place to start, because if you're working with the root and you're thinking that the C note is affecting the root, then that's the energy behind the sound. That's the consciousness behind the sound. So that's where the sound will move, because you are thinking and your energy is that's behind the sound is that it's working at the root level. I think sound will go where it needs to move. I also think that if you're working with someone who, because I'm an energy worker, that's like how I started. So I learned working with energy before I started working with sound. And sound is the conduit through which I work my energy through. So it's really a good place to start, because it helps you to learn to encode into sound, to put energy into sound. And then that gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I think you can really move past this concept of the seven main chakras and the seven notes of the scale. I work with different tuning forks. So the tuning fork frequencies that I work with are 174, 528 hertz, and 417. Those are the frequencies that I like to work in the energy field with to help clear, move, and shift energy in the field. Those are just particular frequencies that resonate with me. And I've tried and worked with a bunch of frequencies, but those are the three that I think work. But we're all unique vibratory beings. So, you know, I could say 528 is the healing frequency, but, you know, for Sophie, it might not be. You know, for you, it might not resonate with your makeup. Mm-hmm. So keeping in mind that, yes, we do have these different frequencies, 528, 432, right? Healing frequencies. But ultimately, it comes down to your vibrational makeup and what feels good for you. So I suggest try them all. See what feels good. See what feels good with your body. For me, the Schumann resonance is really, really powerful.
Is that 432?
It's actually the Schumann resonance is like the heartbeat of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's the frequency that is between the earth and the ionosphere. Oh. And that resonates at 7.83 hertz, which we can't hear 7.83 hertz because it falls below our range of hearing.
I was just going to ask you, that's the sound current
that
we train ourselves to hear.
I think for every person, it's kind of different what the frequency is that you're listening for, but it's the heartbeat of the earth, or I like to call it the earth's hum. Yeah, because it's like this, the hum of the earth. It falls below our range of hearing, but in sound healing, we work with multiples or harmonics, which are geometrical multiples of a fundamental frequency. So we could be working with the Schumann resonance, which is 7.83 hertz, but we can't hear that. So what do? We multiply it. We find its geometric multiple or its harmonic, and that's what we listen to. And it still is holding that fundamental frequency in the harmonic, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yes.
So if we're listening to, say, a track that's a Schumann resonance frequency, it's a multiple. It's a geometric multiple of 7.83 hertz.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's why I was asking about like the amount of hertz, because I've listened to things with Schumann resonance, but it's always a different frequency. So I didn't know it was multiples of the original.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Of the original Schumann resonance.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So the fundamental frequency is in that. Like, if you can hear it, if it's, you know, something that you're listening to that you can actually audibly perceive, then you're listening to a geometric multiple of that fundamental frequency.
Now, what would you say are some of the benefits or healing effects of working with sound?
Oh, God.
I know that there are so many, but also like for our listeners' purposes, you know, I'd love to dive into that.
Absolutely. So I like to say like I'm 50% woo-woo and 50% true-true. Like, you gotta be both,
love that.
Right?
Yes. 1,000,000,000%.
Yeah. Yes.
Because if you're one or the other, you're not, you gotta be like neutral in it. And some days I'm like 1,000% woo-woo. And then some days I'm 1,000% true-true in science. So
good.
Like, you have to be.
Yeah.
There has to be a balance, you know? So, so the benefits. Okay, so, like, lower heart rate, right? Lower blood pressure. What's really, really healing, I think, is the fact that we entrain with these frequencies, with these sounds, and they help to bring us into our lower brainwave states. Right. So they help us access these deeper states of consciousness that we're trying to get to when we're meditating, but takes a really long time to get to. Mm-hmm. Right. So sound is kind of like the pill that gets you there almost, like without taking a pill. But your brain and our bodies entrain and lock in step with the frequencies that we are coming in contact with. And when they're healing frequencies, they tend to bring us down into these lower brainwave states, which is where we, you know, access deep states of consciousness and where we can access ourselves beyond our body, beyond our mind, beyond our ego, beyond who we are in this very physical, tangible reality. It also helps to regulate the nervous system, helps bring the nervous system back into regulation. The woo-woo stuff is, you know.
I've released extreme traumas
and
suppressed memories that I didn't even realize were in there.
Yep.
I've removed a lot of physical pain, emotional pain, even simple things like if I was trying to work through jealousy or severe anxiety or something like that. There's I've, you know, participated in sound baths or just thrown on my earbuds and listened to YouTube and found the right frequencies for me and worked through all of that and able to release like lots of emotional stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Even locking into like creative states, like as a songwriter or wanting to like create different art pieces, like I throw on some higher frequency brainwaves and music frequencies and it's like, that's it. I've got it, you know? Or studying, focusing. It's endless.
Yeah. Focusing for sure. Attention. For me, it's really, really helpful for attention being someone, we were talking about this earlier, but, or before we started, but being neurodivergent or, you know, being, I'm dyslexic and I am ADD. And, as much as I don't identify, you know, deeply with those labels help me understand myself, right?
Sure.
And how to move through the world. And sound is one of the ways that I am able to move through the world with more ease. And it's connecting with the bowls, and connecting with like binaural beats, and just creating more clarity, in my brain. And there's, you know, this idea that sound balances the right and left hemisphere of the brain. And I'll play later when we do a sound bath, I'll play two bowls together that create a binaural beat. And like, I play those bowls and instantly I'm like, well, maybe not instantly, but maybe a few minutes, you know, into playing them, I'll just have this deep, like, okay, so much more clarity in my brain, so much more focus. And so it really is, it is medicine. And I think for those of us who are, you know, highly sensitive or neurodivergent, it's really, it's so beneficial to be able, being able to live in a world that can be really difficult for us.
Absolutely. And I think that goes right in line with what you're saying about your 50% woo-woo, 50% true-true. I feel like sound is a modality that really encompasses that because, like, what we're getting into here, like, you're really breaking down all of, like, the healing elements of it. But I think anybody listening to this can totally relate to, like, when you're feeling sad and you play your favorite song and, like, instantly you're like, I feel – I mean, and that's not the exact type of sound, like, we're talking about here, but it's a sound.
That's how you can prove that this, you absolutely know, is legitimate.
Exactly. Everybody can relate to that, like, or a song broke their heart or a song – you know what I mean? Yeah. How it makes us feel. And I think that it's something that really kind of bridges those two worlds together in a really cool way. I'm so excited for the sound bath.
Have you ever experienced one?
So – quickly, I won't take up too much time with this, but once it was like, I wouldn't say it was a full sound bath, but there were elements of that, like the gongs and the bowls, and they were walking over us and like doing the stuff. And I'll be honest, when I first was going into it, I was like, I don't know about all of this.
Yeah.
And then it was interesting because when they were doing the sound, I've told you this story, I felt the urge to laugh. And I was like, oh my gosh, why do I want to laugh? And so it made me think initially, I was like, oh, I didn't really get anything out of this. But then when I left, I realized that I'd had a really traumatic year and I hadn't laughed in a really long time. And like the sound was bringing up all this joy. And I was like, oh my gosh, it did work. It just gave me something different than I was expecting. So I've wanted to one again, but just haven't had the time. And so I'm like literally so excited.
I love that.
And every time's different too. So
it is.
Yeah. You can get... yeah. Like endless.
It's really powerful. And, you know, we're just so disconnected from the fact that we are vibration. And I think it's really important at this moment in time that we begin to remember that, because our intuition is in our mind as well, right? And we do things in the spiritual and the wellness space that like strengthens our intuition, or, you know, through like visualization or through different practices. But the most important intuition comes from being in the body and listening to the sensations, the pulsations, the vibrations inside of the body. Without the body, without the sensation of the body, intuition can get really dangerous. So it's coming back to ourselves as vibrational beings, coming back into our body and learning to listen. And that's what sound does. It allows us to learn how to listen and reminds us again, oh yeah, I am vibration, that my language is vibration, that it's sensation, that it's pulsation, right? So I think it's really important for us to remember that it's really coming back to the body when we want to access our intuition. Because in the wellness space, I mean, they're trying to sell us so many things. It's a billion-dollar industry. And, you know, a lot of it is colonized. A lot of this stuff is, you know, we're bypassing so much and we're just seeing it through a very like capitalistic lens. Yeah. And coming back to ourselves is the goal. Coming back to ourselves, coming back to the earth, right? And listening to our body is allowing us to come back home. And I think it's really important that we keep coming back to the body for our wisdom. And I think that sound allows us to do that. I don't know.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't agree with that more. So like, I'm curious, what did you always like have a pull towards this work? Were you always familiar with sound? Mm. You know, how did you get involved with this type of healing work? Like, how has it pertained to your life and in your journey?
Yeah. So as a child, I started singing opera at like 7 years old. And whoa. So for me, I've always been able to understand the vibration. I couldn't read until I was 11, but I was singing in like other languages and singing like difficult arias from like 7 years old. So to me, I've always understood vibration and it's always been in my body. Like my music has always been in my body. I don't know if you can agree with this, right? It's in your body. Mm-hmm. It's not on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Like it's literally you're singing from your,
it's a part of you.
Yeah. It's a part of you. Yeah. So I've always had a deep understanding of that. I've always had a deep understanding of if I was feeling something and holding a feeling tone or a vibration inside of me and I used my voice, I could project that sound out and people would receive what I was feeling, right? So I've always had an understanding of intention and placing intention behind sound to you know, connect with other people. That's always been something that I've known. I also, around 7, 8, I started to understand that what the sounds that were coming through me were celestial or different. Now I have the words and kind of the understanding that like I work with the angelic realm. So like when I say that I'm woo-woo, like I'm really woo-woo.
And that is true.
So I started to understand that what was coming through me and the sounds that were coming through me were, you know, angelic. Now I can say like the angelic realm or, you know, or whatever. I have a different kind of relationship now. But, you know, along the years, I forgot about all that stuff, right? So I got kind of forgetful about, you know, encoding consciousness into sound and really the healing that sound can provide. Life happens, trauma happens, and, you know, you start to shut yourself down, start to shut your voice down. I've only recently begun working with my voice again. It's taken me so many years of rehabilitating that. And even still, I still sometimes like get like stuck, in it, and that's totally okay. But yeah, I was on medicine for a long period of time. I was on, medicine for anxiety and depression and insomnia. And I was on that for about 10 years because everything just got to be too much.
And I'm really clinical medicine?
Yes.
Like Western medicine?
Western medicine, yeah. And I'm really grateful for it. At the time, it was the tool that I had. And again, I don't want to say, you know, encourage anyone to get off their medicine. That's not
right.
That's not my deal. I'm really grateful for it. At the time, it was the tool. But I had a friend who was European, and he was like, hey, maybe you want to, like, not take that. Maybe you could get to the source of something. And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. Mm. And it just like set a light bulb off. And I went off of my medicine about 10 years ago and I was on it for about 10 years. And, And that's kind of where the journey began. And I started to acquire different modalities, Reiki. I started doing Reiki. I started doing meditation, and my connection with the divine got stronger. My angelic connection started coming back. And then, yeah, and then I realized, oh, maybe I want to do Reiki and start being the actual energy worker. And so, yeah, I got attuned to Reiki, and it was just like everything kind of turned on. And then I was working with that for a while, and then started incorporating like different beat frequencies or binaural beat frequencies into mm-hmm. my healing session. And then I just started to kind of acquire bowls. And then I was like, oh wait, this is it. I'm not doing hands-on healing anymore. Like, I do my healing through sound. And so it was, you know, a slow transition. I mean, it's like over 10 years of it. But yeah, sound, it was like, oh my God, how did I forget that I was a sound healer? how did I forget that? But yeah, it was, yeah, remembering who I was. But yeah.
Wow. Full body chills.
Yeah.
Full body chills. When you do or perform a mm-hmm. sound bath or sound mm-hmm. healing, I mean, I know what it entails, mm-hmm. but can you tell us what it entails?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So it's a meditative experience. So the practitioner, all they do is lie down and receive and listen. It's very easy. The sound healer, the sound practitioner creates, you know, different frequencies through, like I said before, instruments, voice, and different electronic frequencies. And essentially, you're just lying down and receiving, and the body does some amazing things. It locks in step, or it entrains with the frequencies that it's coming in contact with. And entrainment is essentially locking in step. And what's really cool about entrainment is that we can see it like all over the place. Like when two women spend a lot of time together, the cycle entrains. Mm-hmm. If you put like three metronomes in a room together and you set them at all different times, they're eventually...
No way.
Yes.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll eventually be on the same time. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. If you have a bunch of clocks in a room...
No.
Yes, guys.
No. What? No.
You guys are now making me doubt it. Oh my God.
I'm just dramatic. That's
someone Google
cool.
that. No. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, think, and then even our bodies, like our brain, like if we lower our heart rate, like, or sorry, not heart rate, our respiratory rate, if we take some slow, deep breaths, then our heart rate lowers and then our brain waves start to lower. So those systems all entrain with each other. So that's what happens when we're lying down and receiving frequencies, right? In a sound bath or a sound healing, whatever you want to call it, we are locking in step with those frequencies. There's also this another scientific word or term called sympathetic resonance. And that's when one vibratory object comes in contact with another and takes on its vibrations. So, and our bodies do that. Like our bodies are those objects that take on the frequency of other objects. So we're taking on the energy. We're also made of 70% water.
Yep.
Right? And there's a lot of evidence around sound on water, pace, and how it can change form, how sound can change matter. It's called cymatics. It's a study of cymatics. And it's amazing what putting sound and water together, what it does. I mean, it turns into like sacred geometry. Like you see like the Sri Yantra, or you see like these fundamental like building blocks, because that's essentially what sacred geometry is like the fundamental building blocks of the universe. You can see them present when sound is projected onto water. It's really amazing. So our bodies are 75% water, and we are vibrating to the vibrations that we are coming in contact with. You know, whether that's good vibrations or, you know, like healing vibrations, or if it's, you know, man-made sounds that, you know, can overstimulate us.
That's why it's so important too, to like really pay attention to what you're listening to, mm-hmm. what you're inputting, mm-hmm. Even, you know, of course, like what you're watching, the environment you're in, like
Yeah.
All of that, because it's all inputting and it's all having an effect on your entire system.
Yeah.
Body, mind, spirit, everything. And because, like you said, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. You're in training with everything you come in contact with.
Wow.
The more mm-hmm. I study all of this and the more I apply like the practical part of it and just the more I live with it and feel it and know it, just mm-hmm. the more sense it starts to make. And mm-hmm. it's just like, yes.
Yes.
I know I'm having like a revelation, but I don't want to make this like an please episode do. About Sophie's no, revelations.
No. Make it about Sophie's please. Revelations. I love Sophie's revelations. Revelations.
Yeah. No, I'm literally, I mean, and on, so, okay, so literally I can relate to you so much with the, I'm a classical pianist and that was my first major in college. Okay. So, you know, ever since I was three, I've been playing piano. That's how Natasha and I met. And I went to college and that was a really tumultuous time for me. I ended up getting kicked out of school, like blah, blah, blah. And I had like an aversion to piano kind of really ever since. And like never, I've always had a piano in my home, but I like would never play, wouldn't tell people that I played, like nothing like that. And then this last year, you know, I was really healing a lot of things and that was kind of my focus. And so I started playing piano again. And I was getting all these memories from that traumatic time in my life, but in a way where I felt like I needed to write them down. And it led to this whole separate writing project. And what would happen is I would be writing and then I would come to a block and I would go back and play the piano, play like a Rachmaninoff piece and would have a new memory. Go back, write that down. Go back to the piano, have a new memory that I'd totally forgotten about, come back down. So it was like...
Wow.
The piano was almost like a time capsule, like the sound and like probably now what I'm realizing is like not only the sound, oh my gosh, but like the frequency that my body was creating by making that sound and it was connected to that trauma in my life. It was like put in this time capsule and by me like tuning into that frequency again, unlocked it in now this healing space. And I also don't know where I'm going with that, but like it just made me think of that as you were talking and how I don't know.
I love that you shared that. Oh, thank you for sharing.
I was like tearing up. Yeah, that was really beautiful. What a way to work through something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never put it together. Like, obviously, I knew it was the music that was unlocking this for me, but I never thought of it in terms of like the actual vibrations and frequencies that are going on in my body when I'm creating sound and what that's doing to my brain. Like,
yeah.
What a healing experience.
And classical music is so healing.
Really?
Like, there's so much evidence of how it changes, how it helps with concentration, how it helps with ADD and learning disabilities. And classical music is so, so very healing. But yeah, it's that tapping into that vibrational part. It's almost like working with your voice, like when you're working through how I sometimes work through different situations that are arising when I'm working through some trauma or working through, you know, something that is arising in me that's difficult. I will use my voice in a way to let it out and to clear it and allow it to come to the surface, because sometimes you just need vibration. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we want to be so logical in it and just kind of getting into just the vibration of something just opens it up. It allows it to release, allows it to move, right? Because that's what vibration does. It moves you. Even how you said that laugh, right? That laugh was moving energy. It needed to move up and out. Mm-hmm. This trauma needed to move up and out through you. And what a beautiful way that you listened to, because that's not a conventional way of healing, right?
Yeah.
Or that's not a that's not conventional.
No.
But it's what was right for you. And you listen to yourself and listen to your body. And yeah, it's beautiful when we merge vibration and sound, you know, into our healing and what that actually allows and what that uncovers and opens up in us.
Oh.
For someone who's not a musician, how would you say would be like maybe the first step for incorporating sound healing into their lives?
Humming. It's so easy, you guys. It's so easy. You don't even need an instrument. It's free.
You know what's so cool about that too, though? Not to interrupt you, but like, You know how kids, like, if there's a fight going on around them or they're scared, to like literally sit in a ball almost and like cover their eyes and like rock back and forth and hum, because they know that that instinctively that that's something that can heal them and help them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we know it. It's one of the first sounds, and it's a sound that we use to soothe, and it's a self-soothing sound. Right, but we forget it because it's like as we get older, it's like, oh, why are we making these weird sounds? Mm-hmm. Right. Why are we walking around humming, or why are we walking around like expressing what wants to move up and out of us?
You know? And we're not taught, you know, the science behind all of this or the true stuff.
Right.
It's just not talked about very often. And unless we go and seek of that information, a lot of times it doesn't find us.
Right.
And then, of course, we write off a lot of different healing modalities that could be extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So humming, it's really simple. It's a vibrational tool. Your voice is a vibrational tool that lives inside of your body. There's nothing more powerful than your voice. You know this.
Yes. Yeah. And then it moves, literally just moves stuff up and out of you.
Wow. I just saw like a big like, just like a flash of light. You're so cute. I love you. It's so powerful, right? Our voice is connected to our soul. It's connected to a part of ourselves that is beyond all of it, you know, that is infinite, that is all-knowing. And I mean, you don't have to even get that deep with it to be humming. Like, all you have to really do is be like, I go deep with everything, but like all you have to do is inhale.
Sorry, I ruined it. Oh my god, my judgmental ass. I was judging. Yeah, I was.
But it's so
not yours, but like
the dissonance of it.
Not yours either.
No.
I just felt right.
Sorry, you guys.
No, it's so hard. It's funny because when you are a singer, you judge everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so hard to not sound good.
Yeah, it inhibits. Mm. It actually inhibits a lot, especially with perfectionist tendencies. I mean, we just saw that case in point.
Yeah.
Even with like dancing and dance therapy and just like moving and getting into the body. But it's like, for me, I'm always in that analytical brain because that's just how I've approached it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, too, as a singer.
Yeah.
But
that's so funny.
Sorry, should we try that again? Can we?
No, I love it. That's
I want
so
to
funny.
Approach this in a non-judgmental way. I don't even care if
just close our eyes.
I also love, but what arose in you is so normal and it's so natural. So, but yeah, we could.
I think people will relate to it.
I
want to
redo.
It.
Okay,
but we can redo it though.
What should we go back to?
Let's hum. Let's take a breath in. But you can lead it.
Okay. All right, guys, all we have to do is just inhale through the nose. Keep the mouth closed. See? Another laugh for us.
I love it.
It's good, though.
Oh,
no, but really, I mean, it's really cool because not only are you vibrating...
Sorry, I'm a laugher. I'm like
I
always
love
trying
that.
To laugh.
I love that, especially when like my judgmental ass comes out, because then it like just makes it a light thing, which is what I want.
I love that. Yeah, no, laughter is great. You know, it's fine. But you're aware of your judgmentalness. That's the key, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and it's not always. I'm not like always judgmental person.
No. But with the voice, believe me, I still have to work through so much around the voice. Like I still am actively unlearning. Classical training.
Interesting.
And classical is like even more rigid.
Call my professors. They couldn't stand me because for me, like, dynamics were suggestions and like time. I would just let it rip. And they're like, what is she doing? This is a travesty. But I was so much more about the emotion of it and like feeling it. But
yeah,
like these rules sometimes, I think they're just suggestions, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't live in the rigidity. Gotta, like, you know, right?
I guess.
Did you read music?
I did, but I more so, my teachers would, I would have them play it first because I could learn by sound.
Yes. Yeah.
So they'd be like, sight read this. I'd be like, you just do it first real quick though. And then I would like remember exactly what they played and Same. Then do that. Really?
Yeah.
That's play by sound.
Incredible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was how I learned.
Just by hearing it like once?
A couple times, yeah. I mean, I can't do that now, but when I was younger, I definitely learned. I learned everything.
Yeah.
My mom used to read to like everything had to be read to me, and then I would like memorize everything. That's how I always learned. I always learned through listening. Yeah. I mean, because when you can't read until you're 11.
Oh yeah.
Like you know, you're
dyslexic,
right?
Yeah. Oh, right.
So like I like everything had to be like read to me, and I learned audibly pretty much everything.
Wow. Do you think that because of that actually strengthened your ability to like tune into sounds?
Yeah, but I think that's just me. I mean, like I am so sensitive to all sounds.
Okay.
Like I can hear things people cannot hear, and I can, and I am like, I get really dysregulated in my nervous system when I'm around too many sounds. I wear headphones, like the little ear But not ear pods, I have those, but the little plugs.
Mm.
So that like kind of that like garbage sound, I don't take that in because it's information, right? And when you're highly sensitive or neurodivergent, you are taking on more information from the environment. So you're taking on everything which overstimulates you.
Mm-hmm.
But being super sensitive to sound like is really important for me to have earplugs. But yeah, I mean, even like living in Los Angeles is so loud. Yeah. So I live out in Calabasas now, which is great. But I would feel the helicopter before I could hear the helicopter. So I would get this terrible feeling inside and I'd be like, oh my gosh, what is it? What is it? What is this feeling? And then all of a sudden the helicopter would come into audible range and I'd be like, oh, it's a helicopter. Like that's how sensitive my system is.
Whoa.
And yeah. So yeah. So sound, yeah.
That's so, yeah. Pretty cool.
It's crazy.
That is really cool and yeah. A really a great example about how maybe for someone else it might not be sound.
Yeah.
Like your body was giving you some information and right. like you found the ability to like tap into that and really listen to that and not dismiss it and make life harder. And it's like maybe all of our bodies are giving us some sort of information about what we're more attuned to.
Yes.
And to like follow it maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so many of us, again, are so out of our bodies.
Right.
You know, we're like in our minds. We're so disconnected. Like this, the culture that we live in, this capitalistic, you know, world that we live in, which is essentially colonialistic. Like it has taken us out of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are so far out of our bodies. But sound and movement too gets you back in your body. Different practices. I teach the practice of yoga nidra, which is a relaxation technique that you lay down as well. And I do it with sound, but it is a practice of like moving through your whole body, your consciousness, awareness moves through your whole body and like really brings you back to your body. But that's really what we need. I mean, I said it before, but I think that's ultimately what we're trying to do is just come back home to our bodies, come back home to ourselves.
I'm really looking forward to the sound bath.
Me too. I want to do it right now.
I know. Is there anything else that you want to add or like talk about before we jump into that?
I feel like we got it.
So we're so excited that now we're going to jump right into the sound bath. So please stay tuned for that. But Kate, where can people find you, follow you, keep in touch with you?
My website, which, you know, I don't update too often, but I always say, like, I'm really good at healing. I'm really terrible at all the business stuff. My website, which is kateschofield.com. And then you can find me on Instagram at I am Kate Schofield. And, yeah, that's it. Maybe more stuff in the future, but, like, yeah, that's it for now.
I said your name wrong at the beginning.
Oh, everyone does. It's fine.
I am so sorry.
It doesn't mean anything.
Oh. No,
it really doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, you know,
know it now.
That's how most people pronounce it.
I should have asked.
No.
What the hell?
It's great.
It's great.
Did wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me, like at all. So it's all the same.
Well, this has been wonderful, and as much as we would love to stick around with all of you listening, we want to go do the sound bath, so we will see you next time. Tune in, and we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us for this episode.
We hope you gained some valuable insight and maybe learned something new.
If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. And don't forget to follow us on social media at The Heart of Healing Show.
Till next time.
Mwah.